It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. This is our December 27th broadcast. Hope that you had a very blessed Christmas. And producer Steve, this is Boxing Day. Are you familiar with that?
It must mean that I'm breaking down all the boxes from Christmas, yes?
Well, maybe that is what it is in 2021 America. But actually, it is it's a holiday that it's called Boxing Day, and this is per CNN. There are a couple of theories about that. Some say it stems from when the wealthy would give boxes filled with small gifts, money, and Christmas leftovers to their employees to recognize their service. Another theory is that churches put out boxes for people to give money to the poor, and the money was distributed the day after Christmas. I think probably both of them happened. But with that, Boxing Day, what I always have understood is in Britain and all of the different, what do you call that? They're different, like Canada, Australia, all of those different, they're not territories. What are those exactly?
Colonies.
Were they colonies?
Way back in the day.
Okay. Well, any of those that were affected by the British Crown, we'll just put it that way.
There you go.
That they actually celebrated Boxing Day, and my understanding actually was that all the servants normally had to work for the royalty and the elites on the 25th on Christmas Day, and so the next day they were given off, and they were given boxes of leftovers and some small boxes of gifts. So hence that was always been my understanding of Boxing Day. So happy Boxing Day to you.
Well, thank you, and let me return to you that greeting. Happy Boxing Day.
Continuing on, though, be sure and check out the website. That's kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. Email me. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate each and every one of you. And I also get to work with a lot of really great partners. And one of those partners that sponsors both of the shows is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have football specials. We're coming into all kinds of football games this week. And so instead of cooking, why don't you either pick up something or you can dine in at Hooters Restaurants. And so they have all kinds of specials. And they also have a party pack. So if you have a whole bunch of people over, then I would recommend that you do that. And you can buy 50 wings and all kinds of appetizers and a variety of different things. So check that out at my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you'll see all my sponsors there. But certainly it's great. They have the best wings. They really do.
And we would be remiss because obviously with New Year's approaching, there's all kinds of football games coming.
Absolutely. So many different games. But I want to move over to, we're going to be talking with Dr. Marshall Foster in segments 2, 3, and 4. And he has written the book, The American Covenant. He now has a revised edition. And he talks about the covenant between really America and our Creator. And so it's going to be a really fascinating story. But I also am always fascinated when I think about Christmas Day, the day after, and George Washington as he's crossing the Delaware and the Battle of Trenton. And I didn't really know, I don't know if I wasn't taught this or if I wasn't paying attention in school, but it wasn't really until I got to know Ben Martin, who's on regularly regarding our history, that I really thought about this battle. But it's a pretty remarkable thing that happened. And in fact, we'll talk with Ben Martin a little bit later on in the week about that.
If I had to guess, I would vote on the latter, the fact that you weren't paying attention.
You're probably right on that. But I want to explain this to people. And this is from MountVernon.org. It's the Battle of Trenton. And I think they tell it better than I can just off the cuff. They said, immediately following his famous crossing of the Delaware River, General George Washington marched the Continental Army to Trenton, New Jersey. The Army's forces included horses, guns, wagons, and soldiers – stretching for nearly 1 mile. The weather was worse than it had been crossing the river, but the army continued to proceed as Washington rode up and down the column, pressing his men to carry on. Now, just think about this. My understanding is that the Continental Army, some of the guys didn't even really have pants, have shoes. It was very cold. It was so frozen, Steve, that their feet were cut by the ice. There was bleeding. I hadn't really thought about a mile long. It's amazing that they were actually they actually made a surprise attack.
And also, wasn't it brought to our attention recently that it might have been Ben Martin who said it, that their commitment to keep on being part of the Continental Army had already gone by.
Right. They were going to have to re-up for the next year. And can you imagine Washington? In fact, the quote that I have is significant when we get to that. But continuing on, it says, shortly after 8 o'clock on the morning of December 26, 1776, the Continental Army started its charge on the city. Three columns marched through thick snow, with Washington personally leading the middle charge. As the soldiers pushed forward, artillery began to fire. At the same time, German drums urgently called the Hessians to arms. To his astonishment, Washington had maintained an element of surprise. Immediately after the firing began, three Hessian regiments ran from their quarters ready to fight, quickly forming ranks. As the Hessians grouped, the Continental Army entered the city at two points. John Stark marched into the city on the river road from the west, while Nathaniel Greene and Washington arrived from the north. Andreas von Winderholt, a Hessian lieutenant, incorrectly reported to Colonel Johann Rall that the Continental Army had surrounded Trenton and there was no available route for retreat. As a result, Rall decided to counterattack Washington within the city and not retreat across the Assunpink Creek. This proved to be costly, as Washington's forces occupied the highest ground in the city and had clear views of all of Rall's movements. Time after time, Washington countered Rall's efforts to outflank the Continentals. Eventually, Washington's forces overpowered the Hessians. Rall was mortally wounded, and many of his soldiers broke ranks, fleeing from the fighting. Normally very disciplined, Rall's regiment was confused and disorientated without their commander. They retreated to an orchard east of Trenton, where they were forced to surrender. It says, despite the large number of Hessians that escaped Trenton, Washington still won a crucial strategic and material victory. In only 1 hour of fighting, the Continental Army captured nearly 900 Hessian officers and soldiers, as well as a large supply of muskets, bayonets, swords, and cannons. Washington ordered his soldiers to retreat the Hessian prisoners in a humane, or to treat the Hessian prisoners in a humane manner, and the general quickly focused his attention on what to do next. Washington assembled all of his officers in Trenton to discuss whether they should attack another post, hold a position in Trenton, or retreat back across the Delaware River. Washington decided that because of the condition of his army, the best move was to return to his camps across the river. Can you imagine moving them over and then moving them back? And then within a few more days, he moved them back across. It's a remarkable, Steve.
Well, I know a little bit about that humane treatment because I was born and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania. And that's probably 65 to 75 miles northwest of Philadelphia. One of the principal reasons that Reading started to develop there was because it was a prisoner of war camp for those Hessians.
Really? And the Hessians were pretty mean, so it's pretty amazing that Washington made sure that they were treated humanely.
Well, yeah, and then once the war was over, all they did was open the gates of the camp, and they were free to go wherever they wanted to.
That's probably where you got the Pennsylvania Dutch then, right?
Probably good.
I guess not. Well, I guess I've always thought Pennsylvania Dutch were Germans. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. The connection is very, very close there. But in terms of just flinging open the gates, you're free. You want to settle right here? Great. You want to head for the coast and try to get back to Germany? Great.
I guess that's one way to handle it, huh? For sure. So, hey, Steve, I wanted to go to this quote, though, from George Washington. It was earlier in 1776. It was in January. And this is from the National Archives, I guess it was. And he wrote this, again, January 1776, to Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Reed. And I'm just looking at this. I'm thinking about the emotion of all that Washington was doing. And I just find this amazing. He said, the reflection upon my situation and that of this army produces many an uneasy hour when all around me are wrapped in sleep. Few people know the predicament we are in. If I shall be able to rise superior to these and many other difficulties which might be enumerated, I shall most religiously believe that the finger of providence is in it.
It almost had to be.
It did. It truly did. And then you think about what happened. 1776 was such a big year. And I think you mentioned it, but the Continental Army, they had to re-up at the end of the year. Can you imagine what morale was like? And so the fact that they had this victory at Trenton and then they go on and have a victory at Princeton is such a big deal. But George Washington was a remarkable man, no doubt about it.
Well, as you've brought to light many times, every time we talk about the Declaration of Independence, what did they hear in the distance as they were signing the document?
It was the German cannon. So I'm excited to talk with Dr. Marshall Foster. But before we get there, my friends, we are at a time now as this, and you were made for this moment. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Marshall Foster.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmunson.com. That's MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And on the line with me is Dr. Marshall Foster. This is a really important show, and this is our December 27th broadcast. He's written the book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. Dr. Foster, welcome to the show.
So great to be with you, Kim.
What is this American Covenant, this untold story?
Well, it is an amazing event when you think back almost 3,500 years when there was a covenant that God made with Israel, and they set up a constitutional republic in the wilderness and took it into the Promised Land. And for the 400 years before the kings, they actually had a period where they had a constitutional republic. From then on, for the next 3,300 years, the world struggled under tyranny. There were some examples of people struggling for freedom, especially in the Reformation period of the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries. But not until America was in its infancy, with the pilgrims coming across on the Mayflower and signing something called the Mayflower Compact, do we have a covenantal or a compact theory of government developed by a free people that would limit the tyranny that had dominated the world for 4,000 years. And it's an amazing miracle. It ended up, of course, with the famous covenant of the Declaration of Independence, which is in a covenantal structure of the Bible, which it ends with a firm reliance upon divine providence. We pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. It's a pledge. It's a covenant of the American people with God and with one another. That covenant has been forgotten, Kim, and for the vast majority of Americans, we don't even know we made it. And yet that covenant has been, I believe, responsible for the greatest blessings of any nation the world has ever known. And as a result of simply walking by the fundamental principles, the way the world works, and as a result of living by those principles and having the character and virtue to the extent that they did, the American people have been able to forge the freest nation the world's ever known. But now we've forgotten those foundations. So I've gone back with the American Covenant and tracked those foundations all the way back to Moses, and then tracked it through the American experience from the Pilgrims right on through the Founding Fathers to show that that's the covenant that needs to be restored, how to do it. And we're doing it with Kirk Cameron every night on Facebook for the last almost 300 days now. He's been teaching my book online to tens of thousands of people. And we're learning these principles, and now we're starting these campfire revivals in backyards of tens of thousands of people across the country to learn these principles so that we can restore our covenant.
Well, we do. I think that we, from a blessing standpoint, we live at the pinnacle of human flourishing. When you think about, I think about just my life. My grandmother was born in a two-room sod house on the western plains of Kansas. And here is her granddaughter that has all of these modern conveniences, and you can go to the store and get blueberries in December in Colorado. I mean, it's remarkable. I don't think that we appreciate it. I think we take it for granted. And I agree. It goes back to this covenant, this idea, and those things that are embodied in the Declaration that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I'm concerned, Dr. Foster, that because we have taken this for granted and because we have forgotten this covenant and this founding heritage, that it is at risk right now. However, you mentioned these campfire revivals. I think people are waking up. What do you think?
Oh, yes. And this is the case in my book, in the appendix. I have a story of the Great Awakenings that always come in times of pandemic, crisis, economic depression, or war. And it's happened at least five times in American history that what happens is we forget, and it's a biblical thing, too. People, after one generation or two, they forget to teach their children the mighty deeds of God. They forget to teach the principles. And the people rise up and say, well what's going on? What happened? And that's when the grandchildren need to be reminded, oh, wait, we can go back and we can follow those principles once again. So it's happening now because we're losing the blessings of the covenant, and it's coming down hard. I don't think we've begun to see the end of it. But I think that what it's doing is, I know from my thousands of contacts, that rather than apathy, I'm finding people crying out saying, please, please, are there answers? What can we do peacefully? And like you were saying, voluntarily. We're not a nation of power mongers, and we're not a nation that goes out and just kills our enemies. That's not what we're doing here. Now, we don't even need to do that in a constitutional republic. We have all the peaceful means to restore and rebuild our republic ourselves. But we need to understand those principles. We need to understand those ways, and we need to commit ourselves, get away from our selfish ways where we've just kind of ignored all the ways in which we have been blessed, and we've just taken the blessings for granted and lived off of it. Those days are over, and I think that's good, and that's what God does. He, you don't break God's law breaks you in the long run, and that's what's happening to us. But he's a gracious God, and forgiveness has been the way he's worked through the ages. And when people come back, he restores and rebuilds. So I'm seeing it happen by the tens of thousands now, where I've been at this for well over 50 years. My wife and I and a team, starting when very few understood any of these historical principles. History was not taught. Now, to the homeschool movement, the Christian school movement, as well as just concerned parents, they're waking up to what's happened with the critical race theory and so much of what's being taught now and the 1619 Project in the schools. And they're saying, this is wrong. We need to teach the truth, good, bad, and ugly, but we need to teach it in a way that will bring our people together under equality under the law, and that's what the covenant does. And it's so exciting. It's not that difficult to understand. It's just difficult to implement because it involves changing our character.
Well, and the founders talked a lot about virtue, character. How would you define virtue to the American public now?
Yeah, George Washington, that was his big message in his farewell address, which he worked for a year on until 1796, when he gave this address in a five-page blast. It went throughout the country, and basically that's what he said, that it is his virtue is the only thing that will save us as the American people. And he said that religion and morality are the foundations of that virtue. In other words, virtue is, to be a virtuous people is to be one with the qualities of being virtuous and doing the right thing without being forced to do the right thing. Self-governing republics only last as long as the people will govern themselves, care for their own families, care for the needy and the poor, reach out to their neighbors, vote and vote for people of character who will not steal their money and cheat and rob from the top, which is what government agents almost always do in the history of the world, and they're doing it again right now. And the only way to stop that is for men and women of virtue to elect men and women of virtue who have a self-governing nature, which I believe firmly comes from God himself, normally, because that's not human nature. Human nature is to be selfish and to do our own thing. And we just gather into tribes and kill the other tribe. That's the history of nations. But in a virtuous nation, people don't do it that way. They elect men who are men and women who are godly, and they simply will do the right thing as best they can. They make mistakes. They're not perfect, but they hold down the tyrants with the chains of the Constitution. And so we have to have that kind of virtue if this nation is to be saved. And it's a restoration beginning at the child level up. It needs to happen right now.
Well, and I think what we'll do, Dr. Foster, is we're going to go to break here in just a moment. But the veil is off on a tyranny that I never believed that I would see in America. And I want to get your thoughts on what that means exactly and what is happening right now in 2021 America. So we're going to go to break, and I get to work with a lot of really great partners. And on the line with me is Marlon Kirsch with Kirsch Insurance Group, and they're experts in the Medicare arena. They work with a lot of different brokers so that they can help you find the plan that is just best for you. Marlon Kirsch, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kim. I appreciate it.
And this is our December 27th broadcast. New Year's is right around the corner. Happy New Year's to you as well, Marlon.
Thank you.
And you're going to be very busy.
Yes, because there is another enrollment period coming up for Medicare that starts on January 1st and goes through March 30th. And this is a period of time where anyone who is on a Advantage plan can change to another Advantage plan. Perhaps they did not look at it during the annual enrollment period in 2021, so this gives them another opportunity. And I recommend they do it because there are some awesome plans for 2022. Some plans will pay a portion of their Part B premium, which is a huge financial incentive for many people, as well as I see copays next year without any specialist copay, which is really huge for many people. So I encourage them to look at programs starting in January.
Okay, and So I sometimes I don't quite understand. We had this period that was back. Let's see, was that October 15th through December?
That is what's called the annual enrollment period, okay. And that was another opportunity for people to look at not only Advantage plans but also their drug plans.
Okay.
And the open enrollment period coming up in just a couple of days will be strictly for Advantage plans, or if they want to move to Original Medicare, they can.
Okay. Marlon, this is all clear as mud to me, and so that is why people need you.
Yes, I would agree with that. I mean, it's very confusing, and I think people should talk to an expert because there's no cost to it, and just be sure you're on the right and best plan for the next year.
Well, knowledge is power, and as you mentioned, it doesn't cost anything, so there's no harm, no foul on this, and I would highly recommend that people reach out to you to set themselves up for success. And what is the best way to reach you, Marlon?
The best way to reach us is by going to our website, which is ikirsch.com. It's ikirsch.com. and you'll see you can review things about our company and our contact information, and we'd like to help people through this transition.
Well, Marlon, I highly recommend Kirsch Insurance Group, and that is iKirsch.com. And Marlon, I wish you all kinds of peace and prosperity and joy and health and wealth and all those things for 2022. And I really appreciate you being a sponsor of both the shows. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kim. We appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Dr. Marshall Foster.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate that. On the line with me is Dr. Marshall Foster. He is the founder of worldhistoryinstitute.com. That's where you can find that. The author of the book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. So, Dr. Foster, you actually wrote this back in the 80s, yes? No?
Yeah, the first edition. This one is a totally new edition with 120 more pages, and developed specifically this year. But the original volume sold 150,000 copies throughout the country, in kind of a grassroots awakening. I gave over 430 seminars over a period of 25 years, and taught through the principles of the covenant with these various groups, as the homeschool movement and other movements and business organizations and groups were beginning to learn these principles, and then now it's being recovered. It's being the huge conference going on in Florida in January on the idea of restoring the covenant. Like I said, Kirk and I are dedicating our lives to it, to restoring a knowledge of this so that the people themselves can rise up. It has to be in a republic the way to overcome tyranny, which is coming down upon us right now, as you just said. To stop that tyranny, we must understand that because of the sin nature of man, you cannot trust authority at a national level. That's what our Constitution was all about.
Right.
Was to destroy the power of a federal government from taking away all of our freedom, our liberty, our money, etc. And that's what had happened in all the kings of Europe. They knew it would happen here unless we had limits and we had a Bill of Rights and we had these things that protected the people. Ultimately, the 10th amendment, which says that all power not specifically delegated to the national government must be reserved for the states and the people thereof. And so when the people hold the people down, like Thomas Jefferson said, we must hold the tyrants down with the chains of the Constitution. If we, the people, don't know the Constitution, if we, our people, don't believe that men are sinful, that they are fallen, that they tend toward tyranny. All men do. All women do.
Mm-hmm.
And the only answer to that is to not trust one individual or a small group of individuals with power. You must decentralize all power and hold anybody who has power or money accountable on an almost daily basis. And the only way to do that is to have most of the power down at the local level. And so that's the way America was founded, and that's why it was so strong for over 200 years. And that's the reason we're losing it, because now we're giving over the power, this vaccination, this takeover of our society based upon a few healthcare representatives who don't represent the people at all. It's not part of the Congress or the Constitution. It's just we're going to do it. We're going to shut down the society. And the people have been going along with it this last year and a half, and that people are beginning to wake up. And what do? Well, we have to go back to the constitutional principles. This is unconstitutional. It's unbiblical. You don't allow tyrants to have tyranny. you elect representatives to hold them back. And this must be done. It must be done this year, and it must be done, you know, by the people who understand and logically spend the time and the money. And it's going to take a lot more than just showing up on election day.
Absolutely.
It's going to take reaching our friends and our relatives and training them in these biblical principles and constitutional principles of freedom.
Dr. Foster, what I have found so fascinating about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption is first of all, once a tyrant takes power, they don't want to give it back. And you can see that with all of these different, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. As they have taken power away from the people, you don't see very many of them wanting to give it back. And so tyranny, once taken, it is difficult. It's not impossible, but people need to understand what is happening, to be engaged. As you mentioned, it's not just showing up and marking the box for somebody that you heard them speak and you thought, oh, they look like a nice guy. We need to be electing people, men and women, who understand that their job is not to go get into office. And I served on city council for 4 years, and I would hear people once elected on both sides of the aisle say, I'm running for office because I want to give back. And the first thing is that implies that they took something that wasn't theirs. And I always kind of challenge that. But then also I see people get into office and a little bit of power. All of a sudden, they think that they're working for the entity, the city or the county, instead of working for the people that they're supposed to be representing. I see an awakening on that, but we have been asleep at the wheel on this as the American people.
Well, exactly. And that's why it goes back to understanding these fundamental principles and realizing that they are right and they are true, and that if we have any degree of character, or if we desire our children to have any degree of freedom into the future. And take it from somebody who studied this history for over 50 years around the world, and I give tours to over 12,000 kids a year through the historic East Coast, and the thing that people are just amazed about, they just don't understand until they've studied it, is that tyranny is the way of life for the vast majority of people, and it's coming down upon us heavy right now within the next few years. It may be fait accompli for our Constitution. And the only way to save that document and save our freedoms is for us to awaken and arise and learn these truths and apply them to our children, our friends, our relatives, and get about the job of living within this constitutional republic. As George Washington said, we live in one of those times like the Declaration of Independence period where George Washington had to tell his troops on Christmas Day of 1776, when he had a total of 3,000 troops against 30,000 English and another 3,000 German killers called the Hessians, and he had no chance of winning, and half of his army of 3,000 was going to quit that week. That was the end of their time in the army, and it was the end of 1776. The war was in essence over, and they were about ready to give up, and George Washington took up Thomas Paine's article that day, and he read it out to the troops on Christmas Eve, and he read this. He said, he talked about sunshine patriots are going to run from the day, but those who stand will be remembered by their friends and compatriots. And he said, now there's no time for that. It's time for us to put our lives on the line. And sure enough, he got on those boats in the middle of winter with icicles and ice all over the river, and in the middle of the night caught the Hessians drunk on Christmas night and captured or killed them all pretty much. And then 3 days later crossed the river again and beat the British at Princeton in an incredible battle where George himself ran in front of his troops with his horse between the two lines when his troops were retreating and encouraged them to fight on. They turned and tried to save their general, and they saved the day and overran the British. And those two battles saved the American Revolution because it gave hope. And the men that were going to quit, the 1,500 men, didn't quit. They all re-upped. And they went on over another 6 years of providential battles and fighting. They defeated the greatest army and navy in the world against all odds. How could they have done it? They did it through their character. They did it through understanding these fundamental principles. And they fought honestly. And for the vast majority of the English, and they were fighting, and it was raping and pillaging, and they were just doing it the wrong way. And God didn't honor that. He honored the Americans. So, you know, that's our heritage. That's where we come from. And God does that again and again. During times that are like ours, we just need to be faithful in the little things, and then God will put us over much. We need to do the right thing, and guess what? The great wave of history is not on the side of Adolf Hitler or any tyrant. It's on the side of God, and the wave of history belongs to him.
Dr. Marshall, I had a guest on the show that is an expert historian on Lincoln and the Civil War, and also on Gettysburg, and we talked about Gettysburg and the Union soldier, their creativity and innovation. And then also, I had the great honor in 2016 to go to Normandy with a group that accompanied 4 D-Day veterans back to the 73rd anniversary of the D-Day landings. But as you're talking here, it reminds me of something that Dr. Gelzo said, that if the Union soldiers had not stood with their creativity and innovation, and also, I think, divine providence at Gettysburg, who would have been there to stand in World War II, or to stand against Hitler in World War I, World War II against Hitler? But then, as you're talking about this takes me back to the Revolutionary War, and again, on Christmas Day when Washington showed up, I mean, it was amazing. Our soldiers, many of them didn't even have shoes. And if the British were paying attention, they could have followed them with the blood and the snow. It's just remarkable stories about the American Covenant, the American soldier.
That's right. That's right. And they had that character, they had that faith, and they had that leadership. A man, George Washington, who wasn't even paid during the war for 7 years. He stayed away from his home while he was even attacked by the British. He wasn't paid. He just did it out of love of God and love of country. And he got to the end of the American Revolution after miracle of winning battle after battle. And at Yorktown, the final battle of the Revolution, he said, "If a man does not acknowledge divine providence in the winning of this war, he is worse than an infidel." And he said, "I'll have more time to become a preacher after the war," he said. but he said it was amazing. And, of course, that kind of character exemplified by leaders is followed by the troops and by the people, and certainly was. And so we need that. We need character-filled leadership, but we also need our people to then be self-governing enough to understand that it's worth the price, and that we cannot go on like we've been going on, just taking care of our own interests and ordering on Amazon and watching nightly films and football games and expecting that the Republic is going to go on. It's not. It's not. The forces of evil are stacked against the Republic, which has allowed liberty, justice, freedom, and the preaching of the gospel worldwide for the last 250 years. So how do we do it? We do it one step at a time, one family at a time, one backyard at a time. But it can be done very rapidly. And as you look at history, it has happened that way. There's nobody worse than the English in 1939. They were a bunch of drunken louses. They said, "Let Hitler take Europe." They didn't care. I mean, they had terrible character, and the people had lost their Christian faith. They were socialists, and they were a mess. And they had a terrible leader who said, "Hitler, go ahead and take Europe. We don't care." And sure enough, war broke out, and God raises up one man. He raises up Winston Churchill, right? And he begins to simply tell the English people that they must stand up and save Christian civilization. And that against all odds, what do we have? Blood, sweat, and tears is all I offer you. But you must stand. You must stand now. Because Western civilization is at stake. And within 2 years, the character of the English people and then the American soldiers proved to be greater. They came and they stepped up and they realized who they were. And they said, "This is wrong. We're willing to die." You know, and 400,000 or 500,000 of them did. The flower of their nation died, and yet they died for the cause of freedom and for all of us. That's got to happen again now. Kim, it's 80 years later now. We've not had a generation like that, because we've lived, other than some in Vietnam and some of our men minority that have gone over in foreign wars, the vast majority of us have just enjoyed the ride.
We have. We have so enjoyed the fruits of that potential sacrifice. In fact, I'm sure you know the song, The Last Full Measure of Devotion. I just pulled that up and listened to that again. Of course, that's based on some of the words from Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, but just thinking about that. And I've actually got a remarkable story to tell you regarding some of our soldiers and our sailors. And so let's go to break. I'm talking with Dr. Marshall Foster, and he is the founder of WorldHistoryInstitute.com. He's working with Kirk Cameron regarding these campfire revivals, which are just taking off like crazy. And he's also has the revised edition now of The American Covenant, The Untold Story. And before we go to break, I want to give a shout out to Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great sponsor of both of the shows. And they are a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And whether or not you're getting a wedding gift or a birthday gift, or you're a chef or a sportsman or a collector, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. So be sure and check out their website. That is castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We will be right back with Dr. Marshall Foster. Stay tuned.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Cruz with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I am so thrilled to be having this conversation with Dr. Marshall Foster. He is the founder of WorldHistoryInstitute.com. He's written the book, The American Covenant, The Untold Story. He and Kirk Cameron are working together on these campfire revivals. But I wanted to share a story with you, Dr. Foster, and that is when I was in Normandy. One of our people that traveled with us, a young guy from the Netherlands who had just a real love of our American soldiers. So the fact that we were with these four D-Day veterans, Ralph traveled with us. And we were at the fields of La Fiere, where there's during the celebration for Normandy, there is a big paratrooper jump there. And there's reenactors from Western Europe, but there's also American military. Because we were with the veterans, we got to be in the stage area, a big stage, a viewing stage. And Ralph came up to me and he said, Kim, there is a German World War II veteran who wants to tell his story. And basically, the veteran said he was on the shores of Normandy, saw the Allies coming across the channel, that, you know, the whole day of fighting. And he said he was getting, I think, near the end of having his ammunition and all. But he said a young American GI came up on the beach and he said, I took my carbine, I pointed it at him, I pulled the trigger, I hit him in the stomach. And this young GI went down on his knees. He took his helmet off. He made the sign of the cross and he died at that particular point in time. And this German soldier said, It changed his life. All he'd ever known before that was Hitler, that Hitler was God, Hitler was everything. And he's like, here is this young American GI that has left his family and traveled across an ocean to sacrifice his life for people that he didn't even know, to liberate them. And so this German soldier said, I deserted. I ultimately was caught, was sent to Siberia, and sent out on missions that I was not supposed to survive. But here I am 73 years later to let you know that that young American GI changed my life. And I thought, that is the American spirit. It's always just touched my life with that story, Dr. Foster.
That's right. The heroes, whether it would be an Alfred the Great in the 9th century who defeated the Vikings against the Allies, or whether it be Magna Carta and the great pastor who wrote it against all odds, defeating King John, or whether it be the Pilgrims defeating James the First and coming across the ocean and setting up a free republic in the wilderness. It's always against all odds, and it's always people of character, few people of character standing, and then the people around them realize that, and they say, that's what I want to be. I want to be like that, too. So we should never despise the day of small things, and when we do, we'll find that millions will follow that example. And people are looking to America, even to this day, like a city on a hill, like John Winthrop said 400 years ago, that's what we used to be. And the people still look to America and think, are they ever going to come back to those fundamental principles that made them the freest nation and freed so many of us? Or are they just going to go down the rat hole of totalitarianism and sin? And I think the world is watching. And I believe that we are going to respond. And again and again, I've got examples in American history where it's happened almost always 50 years apart and always either in a pestilence or a war or a depression. And that's when we get serious and a few stand up, and those few are then followed by the many who say, yes, I want to stand too for freedom. So we should not be discouraged. For sure.
Well, but Dr. Foster, the last 2 years, in many ways, I am so grateful because the veil is off on all of this stuff that's been percolating underneath, kind of underneath the surface. But now that the veil is off, it's not pretty. People have been so much fear, so much coercion. It has been a difficult time for a lot of folks. What would you say to that?
Well, that's right. That is the fear. That's how they've kept us down. That's how tyrants do it. It's mostly through fear. They find that they don't even need to use force most of the time because people have already given up because of their fear of death or their fear of being found out or not being socially acceptable. They go along to get along. But that's where true bravery comes, and that's where those great principles of courage and freedom and liberty and virtue, like you were saying, that's when they are exposed and people stand and are willing to die for them. Give me liberty or give me death, as Patrick Henry said, right? And I think that he did the same thing for the Virginia Patriots on that one speech on March 25th of 1775 that we need today in every one of our local communities. One of us stands up and then many will too. So we need to stand wisely. We need to do it in following the principles of our Constitution and biblical principles. We don't just go at it as people rioting in the streets like so many have been doing the last couple of years, but we go at it constitutionally, biblically, and hardcore, as in the places that count, with our money and with our character, standing and sometimes offering ourselves. There's no retirement for people my age. You're a baby boomer. Forget your retirement. Forget practicing your backhand down in Florida for the rest of your life. Your life needs to be, as mine does, dedicated for the rest of your life every day to restoring and rebuilding for your grandchildren. And I say that to the American people now, even as I'm speaking to you, as I'm speaking to audiences throughout America, arise and do the right thing, and you'll find that millions will arise with you. And learn what to do. You say, well, I don't know what to do. They're frustrated. They think that their powers are too great. But we must realize that their power is not that great. They simply have used intimidation and fear to make a free people into an enslaved people. And the answer is not to cower at all, but to stand firm and to understand our principles and to gather our friends and to win this constitutionally and biblically. And at the same time, giving and loving and sharing at the local level, starting charities, involved in local charities, as well as our politics. And the result will be a transformation of the nation, just like it's happened again and again in the past.
As I really think that the divine provider is also key here, because there's a lot of factors out there China on the horizon, a weak president's presidential administration, and in some ways, I think, actually an administration that I don't think likes the American idea. And as I look at, you mentioned our children and our grandchildren, that was always something, the American idea was that we wanted to make sure that we pass on something even better than what we received. And this idea that we're going to pass on a big fat IOU to the next generation is so un-American. There's so many factors that are dark out there that I think it is. It will take the divine provider and us putting our eyes back on him to reclaim that American covenant, that American idea, Dr. Foster.
Exactly. And you just, there's so many examples. Where you take William Wilberforce. Here's one guy. He's a little crippled fellow who was very rich, but crippled. And he got into Parliament at the age of 20-something, and he was the only guy against slavery out of everybody there. And the slave trade was controlled by the English. They had slaves all over the world, and they trafficked them. That's how they made their money. And in the midst of that, in the 18th century, early 19th century, when the English were drunks, they were drunk all day in Parliament. The king was crazy. King George III was off his rocker. The people were immoral, ungodly. The average 14-year-old girl was a whore on the streets of London, addicted to gin. We had misery in England. There was no hope. And 11 people gathered in a home at a dining room table with this guy, William Wilberforce. And they gathered with pastor and then some political leaders and a couple other guys and an ex-slave trader. And they got together and began to pray. And they said, oh, okay, we can do this. And they began. And it took them 35 years and 3 days before Wilberforce's death. They passed the elimination of the slave trade worldwide in England 3 days before his death, after 35 years of labor. At the same time, they had started 200 nonprofits. They had brought a great awakening to all of England and Scotland, the greatest in the history of the nation. It had changed it all. The drunkenness was gone. The child labor was gone. And this great awakening had swept through England, and the missionary movement had swept all over the world. And it happened because of 11 people getting serious and planning and strategizing and praying in a dining room table outside of London in about 1789. So, I mean, that's just one example. And there's thousands of examples like that. So let's look at the good things, understand that the good does triumph over evil, and that we do it not because we have more money or power, but because we have literally the God of heaven and true principles on our side. The enemy self-destructs, and they're self-destructing right now. You see it right here in public. Their families are destroying themselves. Their lives are being wiped out, and they're fighting against the goad. You don't fight against the ultimate principles of the universe. You always lose. Abraham Lincoln is the one who said that. And he said that in his second farewell address, you know, you don't fight the providence of God. Anyone who does has always lost. And he is so right. And so let's be of good cheer. Let's get about the job of learning. It's not that difficult to learn these fundamental principles. They always work when they're applied, whether they be economic principles, governmental principles of limited constitutional government, the principles of how a charity from a local level being given by individuals and churches. All these things can be followed and can be begin immediately to transform the nation. So let's get about that job. And I know you are already, and you're getting the word out to people, but I want them to be of good cheer. And the more they learn, that's why I so want them to get the American Covenant, because it'll give them so much hope. They'll learn all these stories. They'll learn that against all odds that they can do it and how they can do it. Just restore your covenant and watch God work.
Well, and one other thing before we finish up the show, these campfire revivals, how can people get more information about that, Dr. Marshall Foster?
Sure. Yes, Kirk Cameron and I have done a video series that goes along with the America's Campfire Revival. You can find Kirk himself and his material at American Campfire Revival or KirkCameron.com. You can go to AmericanCovenantBook.com or to WorldHistoryInstitute.org or .com, and you can find me and all of my material, as well as our journal, and sign up for our free online stuff on email, and that way you can be kept abreast of these local events that are taking place. We had a bunch of them this fall where we went and did rallies with thousands. We're going to be doing that, but we're also, we've started these campfires. The video is very inexpensive. You can get it at worldhistoryinstitute.com. It's a course, and you can bring your friends and family together around your campfire or around your fireplace if it's December, and you can study these principles every week for 10 weeks, and it's changing lives because people are going to, wow, I learned these principles are true. Now, how do we apply it in our local community? And they're reaching out to other groups, and our goal is to have 1,000 of these study groups going in every county in America by next summer.
Well, and it is. It's the grassroots. It's everyday people that have stepped forward for the American idea, the American covenant, and I get great hope in this. And so I so appreciate this interview, Dr. Marshall Foster.
Well, just great to be with you, and let's stay in touch as we go forward. Of course, we've got mutual friends. I'll be out there speaking at Colorado Christian University in April. And they're seeing a real revival there on that campus, and we wanted to see the students of these Christian campuses like Colorado Christian to really come alive and to spread this message all over the world. The young ones are the ones that need to capture it.
Most definitely. So, Dr. Marshall Foster, thank you so much. And as we are moving towards the new year, I wish you all kinds of success in 2022.
You too, Kim. Happy New Year, and let's pray for a great, great, blessed year ahead for America once again.
And our quote for the end of the day is from George Washington in his farewell address, 1796. He said this: 'Tis substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government. The rule indeed extends with more or less force to every species a free government. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.